Hello, everyone, and welcome to Heard on the Street, Street Fights podcast, where we uncover the stories behind the companies and, more importantly, the people that constitute this sector of media and advertising that we all call local. So where are they from? What makes them tick? What business and life lessons can we draw from that? So I'm Mike Boland, lead analyst at Street Fight, and our guest today is Ocean Fine, VP of Agency and Strategic Partnerships at Factual, which is a longtime innovator in location intelligence. So we talked to Ocean from our studio in San Francisco for part one of the two-part series. So stay tuned for our discussion with Ocean, but first, a word from our sponsor. Hi everyone, Mike Boland here to tell you about and to thank Perch Interactive for sponsoring this episode. The company's really doing interesting and innovative things as one of the leaders in retail transformation. And we're hearing a lot these days about retail apocalypse. But one of the misconceptions is that retail isn't dying, it's actually thriving in a lot of ways. But the issue is that the success is increasingly tied to and maps to tech adoption. So all of the store closures you hear about are the companies that aren't doing those things. So Perch CEO Trevor Sumner believes that 2019 will actually be a renaissance year for physical retail in which it is recrowned.
2018 has been the year of retail reinvention. 2019 is going to be the recrowning of physical retail as king. That is my prediction. And it's going to be powered by technology. It's going to be powered by, you know, data and better supply chain, better predictive analytics by, you know, each of your stores being part of your supply chain, optimization strategy, buy online, pick up in store. But it's also going to be about, you know, just creating wonderful, engaging experiences again.
So how is Perch Interactive helping retailers get there? We'll be back later in this episode to explore that and to hear more insights from Trevor Sumner. Meanwhile, you can find out more about Perch by going to www.perchinteractive.com. Now back to our episode. So Ocean, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Yep. We're glad to have you. And we have a lot to talk about, including diving deeper into everything I just mentioned. But first, let's start with the present. So tell us a bit about yourself and Factual for those unfamiliar.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Ocean. I have worked at Factual for 5+ years now. I head up a group here at Factual that works with our customers, so brands directly and the agencies that they work with, to understand our location data, how to use it and apply it to a multitude of their marketing efforts. Factual in general is a location data company that's been around for 11+ years now. We're focused on having the highest quality location data that helps marketers and organizations create more meaningful, impactful experiences for their consumers. As we know, the world is now connected by mobile. There's tons of data coming in off of the mobile device. We have that mobile device on us all the time. And the location data that we can collect and use to understand consumers, we think at Factual, and I know as a person that's been in marketing for a long time now, is one of the most, if not the most powerful indicators and pieces of data to understand who a person is, what they enjoy, what they do in their life. And that's so important to marketers to be able to use to connect with consumers and provide truly meaningful personal experiences.
Yeah, that's great. And there's a lot there that I want to unpack, including, a lot of recent announcements that you all have made, but also some of your points of differentiation. But before we do that, as we like to do on the show, we're going to hit the rewind button and talk a little bit about your career path and what got you to today. And then we'll kind of jump into the nuances of Factual. So let's start at the beginning. You mentioned that you have kind of a lot of experience and a career in marketing. So how did that all start? So, you know, tell us about the path that brought you into the world of digital media and marketing.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that. We'll go way back. I feel like we're in a time machine right now.
Right.
So I've been in digital marketing in one way or another for over 20 years now. Started off my career working at an agency way back in the day when websites were new. So I might be dating myself a little bit. Don't do the math there. Mm-hmm. But it was a transforming digital channel. Brands were trying to figure out what they should even do on their website. You know, everyone was spending like thousands and thousands of dollars to make sure they had their name in their domain. But they, you know, the trick of like really understanding how to connect with consumers, what to do on the website, how to engage folks. I worked at an agency called EuroRSCG4D. Mm-hmm. We could have had more consonants in that name, right? But it was a agency, a division of Havas Advertising. And we were focused on sort of the cutting edge of digital, helping brands like Reckitt Benckiser, working on brands like Heinz Mustard and Frank's Red Hot, and working with Guinness on their loyalty programs and other, like, even, you know, not consumer products like that, but major tech companies like Symantec and Lexmark, trying to figure out how to engage with their consumers over this new digital channel, which was websites. Yep. So, you know, content was really important there. Experiences were really important there. But I spent about 5 years doing that, and it was amazing. And realized, so this was way back in the day, I think before most people even had mobile phones. I didn't have like that Wall Street Journal huge phone, but right, close to that, like that big Sprint chunky phone.
Yep.
I had a phone. I think I was like texting with my dad on it. What we were like trying to learn how to text message. This was back before people were even text messaging. And I realized as a digital marketer back then that this was amazing. You know, like I could start calling people whenever I wanted to. You know, texting was intimate. I was using the phone a lot, carrying it around. I mean, it was a lot heavier back then. My mid-back heavy. But I think I saw the future of this is where things are going to start transforming to. I started looking around. I lived in Boston at the time. I started looking around at tech companies that were just focused on mobile, started hearing a little bit more about it, and found a startup called MCube. I think it was one of the first mobile startups way back
then. I remember them.
Do you remember MCube? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was just about to, I think, like reach out to them when, and this tells you when it was too, because I was about to reach out to them and a recruiter on, I think it was Monster, the platform Monster.
Yeah, wow.
They're still around, but you know, no one really uses them anymore. Anyways, yeah. Reached out to me. So went in, talked to MCube, was so excited about what they were doing. They were kind of like an aggregator. And back then, again, everything was new. Text messaging, no one really knew how to do it. The major like technology that they were working on was figuring out how to help brands engage with consumers across all of the different carriers through modes like ringtones and wallpapers and text messaging. They had signed up amazing brands like Coke and Nike and lots of others, Ford, and they needed someone to come in and help them like form these campaigns and you know, really work with the clients to manage, you know, what would their end consumer experience be, and work with the agencies as well, which I was from an agency. It was a great experience. I'm so glad I did it, and just went right into the world of mobile, like head on. The first campaigns we ran, I'm thinking back to a few of them. One was called, like, I think it was a Ketchup Pontiac G6. And we were, like, literally teaching people how to text message, because it was like, if you saw the new Pontiac, you could text message in to win, I think, win one. They were giving one away. And we were, like, literally teaching consumers how to text message on their phones to actually enter the campaign.
Yeah.
Of that to launching campaigns for Coke, like My Coke, you know, using the mobile phone and using these new things that you could do, like text messaging and ringtones and wallpapers, for utility and to delight the consumer in a very early way. We look back at it now and laugh, but you know, text messaging the code underneath your cap of your Coke for your My Coke Rewards. That evolved to like helping Ford and Mustang delight their customers, because you know, Mustang customers, they're loyal, they love it, they love the sound of the engine. So we created ringtones that they could download onto their phone across any of the carriers that they were using at the time, which was a very difficult thing to do. So you could, when your phone rang, and this sounds so funny right now, because you know, now you can have your phone rings and you can do anything, play your favorite song, whatever it is. But back then it was like a real challenge when the phone rang for it to make the sound of a Mustang engine revving, you know, and their core fans just loved it. So really early days of using the mobile phone to help brands connect with consumers, create these meaningful touch points, and improve their lives. Oh, there goes the mobile phone right now, and improve their lives, right? So that evolved to MCube was bought by VeriSign, and we created a mobile division there that was helping, you know, like in a very secure way, mobile banks launch. We launched the first mobile banking programs, like utilities where you could, for Chase, JPMC, and for Bank of America, and many more, actually start texting to get your balances and do some very early on mobile functions. Again, now this sounds funny because today you just launch your app, right? And you do it all seamlessly and all that information flows across any screen that you're on. But back then it was, you know, really pioneer days in creating these mobile experiences, helping brands how to understand how to start interact with their consumers over the mobile channel very early. Yep. And now it's just a given. You know, if you haven't transformed to a mobile company today, you're scrambling to. But back then it was a very new thing, and it was just such a great experience to be involved in those first campaigns and experiences and making that technology work.
Yeah. So a few important themes there. One is, you're right. I mean, brands always want to engage consumers, but that point of engagement and the tactics that go along with it are a function of the technological advancement and the usage, like user touch points. And through a few of those like technological shifts, you probably have a great perspective of, you know, the cadence of that technological advancement and never kind of being stagnant, but kind of being at the forefront of the next one. I think that's important perspective. But the other thing is a range of different kind of, you know, perspectives in terms of who you're working with and getting perspective of, in terms of the brands. You mentioned the agency experience. So kind of rolling all that up, that leads into the question that we always like to ask, which is like the cross-training that executives do throughout their career that kind of creates, whether it's by design or serendipitously, a kind of unique formula, right? Like a mosaic of all these different perspectives and skill sets. So how would you characterize that mosaic for yourself? And also as a corollary to that, what would you recommend to people near the kind of beginning of their career that want to get to positions like where you are in terms of making sure they get that cross training in and that like perspective as executives?
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. I get asked this question a lot through the lens of, you know, through different lenses. So I get asked that question just as an executive in the tech field that's always been connected in one way or another to emerging technologies and making them successful. I also get asked that question a lot just from the lens of being a female executive, right?
Sure.
And you know, I think my answer is very similar across both of those lenses, which is, and you know, I think some personalities you're just set for this, right? I've always been a person that I want to learn. I'm curious. I ask questions. I remember my mom like raised me as a child that like you should just always ask questions. And I remember in third grade I was actually be curious, right? I remember in third grade I got in trouble. The teacher actually told my mom that I asked too many questions in class, so her advice kind of got me in trouble. But I think it pushed me just into this way of life, like, you know, always in your career, always be learning, you know, always ask questions, always try to be doing new things, be really curious. I think it really has helped me in my career to be, you know, in the places, in roles early on in my life where I really had to dig in, you know, manage customers through new technologies and understand the nuances of them, right? Not just look at things from a high level and kind of like dictate strategy. So really digging in, and I think for any executive, it's important, obviously, you know, and as you grow in your career, you have to, you know, think macro and big picture and be able to do that. But it's really important to have those fundamentals and understand the ins and outs of the technology and what you're doing. And, you know, as you grow teams, what, you know, just be connected to what do they do on a daily basis. And, you know, what is the nitty gritty that makes this stuff work? I would say that's also important, you know, as you're really digging into growing your customer base and understanding, you know, helping customers use these new technologies and navigate them and understand how to use them. First of all, you have to like really understand them, but you also have to have really strong relationships with your customers. But most importantly, you have to understand their business and the nitty gritty of that. And, you know, from a marketing perspective, who are their customers? What are their business challenges? What are they really trying to do so you can best connect how they should be using that technology from a marketer's perspective. You know, the same lens I think applies, and I say this when people ask me, like, well, what about being a female executive? What does that mean, and how have you been successful at that? And, you know, I really just say, honestly, I just you dig in, you work hard. I encourage people when you're, you know, a lot of times I get the question, what does it feel like to be the only, you know, woman in the room? And I kind of step back sometimes when I get that question, because I've never even thought of that. I'm like, you walk into a room, you're a person in that room, you know, you ask questions, you give information, you're valuable, you speak up. You should never think, oh, like, don't even let that cross your mind. I think that actually just holds you back, right? So how do you just, you know, you dig in and be passionate about what you do and understand it from top to bottom, work really hard, and the rest, I think, comes.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the intellectual curiosity, like, you're preaching to the choir there. It's funny, from the perspective of an industry analyst, one of the biggest success factors is that drive to learn new technologies and learn it well enough that you can turn around and educate others, and do that well enough that they'll actually pay you for it. So it's a major thing. So that resonates with me. So we're actually going to pause there for a commercial break. When we come back, more from Ocean Vine.
So we're back with our sponsor, Perch Interactive, and CEO Trevor Sumner. So how is Perch helping retailers innovate and differentiate in an increasingly digital and Darwinistic retail environment? Its interactive LCD screens are embedded in retail shelving and cabinets and end caps, and they employ computer vision to detect when you pick up a product, then respond with various digital media and animations and product info, and it really imparts a deliberate branded experience. And according to Sumner, what this does is essentially fuse the best of online and offline shopping.
We basically, for the first time, can message every product on the shelf, so we can do true product marketing. So if you can imagine, like, what Amazon.com would be like if you couldn't click on products and no ability to find out more information other than what's on the image. And then think about how that's exactly your experience walking into a Target, or, you know, even a Macy's or Neiman Marcus. They throw the products on the shelves and you miss all that digital content that we've come to love and become addicted to, whether it's videos and how-tos, ratings and reviews, and this product goes with that product.
So how is Perch Interactive helping retailers get there? We'll be back later in this episode to explore that and to hear more insights from Trevor Sumner. Meanwhile, you can find out more about Perch by going to www.perchinteractive.com. Now back to our episode.
So we're back. My guest is Ocean Fine from Factual. So Ocean, before the break, we were talking a lot about you and your career and some of the key learnings. Now we want to get more into kind of the present, and we want to talk more about Factual. You gave us kind of a thumbnail at the beginning, but we want to dig a little bit deeper here. So before we get into some of the company's differentiators and recent happenings, let's go through a few of the kind of metrics. So we actually gathered some data points indicating that the measurement business has experienced over 400% year-over-year revenue growth and 215% year-over-year customer growth. So anything to update or add about those numbers, or things that you would point to as, you know, attributing that success?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'd add that we're really excited about those numbers.
Right.
Definitely see measurement as an area of growth for Factual. And I would just add that measurement in general is so important for advertisers.
Yep.
Really excited about it. I think we're at the beginning of evolving how marketers are thinking about using different types of data points for measurement. You know, footfall is so important as a piece of that picture, because it really helps you connect the effectiveness of your media. You know, am I talking to someone? What channels am I serving? Touch points am I advertising and talking to my customers over? And how am I driving footfall? How effective are those? Is my message actually driving people to take the action that I want them to in the real world? That really helps close the gap for a lot of verticals and marketers that might not have access to other types of data, like purchase data, on a regular basis. And the amazing thing about Factual's data is that it's embedded across the entire ad tech ecosystem. You know, we partner and put our data in platforms, all the major buying platforms, where a lot of the trading is happening today, like Google, The Trade Desk, Viant, you know, those platforms alone represent close to 80% of all programmatic ad spend and where it's happening. And marketers can go in and take a look at, is my media line item by line item, you know, creative point by creative point, driving foot traffic, and optimize during their campaigns based off of that footfall that they're seeing. And that data flows into all of those platforms in, you know, in real time. So we have customers that are actually looking at that data on a daily basis to optimize and make smarter media choices during their campaign.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, footfalls a few times. I think that that's a key term. We often kind of hear and write about how offline consumer spending is the majority of consumer spending, greater than 90%. So to be able to get those insights, I think, are key indicators of consumer behavior and therefore can be kind of targeting metrics. So we hear a lot about this, and we hear there are a lot of companies in the location intelligence space and location data, location targeting space. And you mentioned some points of differentiation right there. I want to go a little bit deeper on some of the things you point to as differentiating yourself from others when it comes to things like the data integrity, when it comes to the collection methodology. You guys focus a lot on visitation insights, and that gets back to the footfalls and the offline kind of behavior. And then you also have a very large sample, a reliable sample in terms of the network you've been able to build in your observation graph and just sheer number of devices. So what are some of those like bullet points that you point to as just differentiators?
Yeah, so lots of them, but we'll highlight a few really important ones. So when you are, you know, looking at how you measure your media, the quality of the data is super important, right? And you need to be able to trust that, and you need to be able to look at it in a deterministic way. So Factual's taken the approach of providing our best-in-class data set, and that's made up of two core data assets. Our places data, we know, you know, have a data set, a point of interest data set that goes across 52 countries across the globe, over 130 million places, and we understand the exact location of each place. We connect that to our observation graph data set that has information on over 300 million devices, and that allows us to very clearly do a lot of sophisticated technology and understanding of how people are moving through the world and do what we call place attachment. So attach people to the actual physical places that they're going in a very confident, deterministic way. All of our measurement data is flown directly into the platforms where our customers are buying their media, so they can see that data in real time, and it's deterministic. So a lot of offerings out there might be based off of a small panel of a million or so people. We took the approach to actually build out this large data set, looking at over 300 million devices, and look at one-to-one deterministically how many people are visiting your store based off of the media that you're sending. So the ability to do that and not make guesses and not model those results, I think, is really, really important. And resonates very well with our customers. Another thing that's really important about thinking about how you're measuring your media is not only the quality of the data, which I just talked about, but is the neutrality of it. So one of the biggest differences about Factual and sort of this, you mentioned, like a very cluttered, competitive data space in general right now, but even in the location space, is that we're 100% neutral. So we're not a media company. We don't tie anything we do to having to buy media from Factual directly to measure.
Yeah, that's key. You're not channel conflicted with your own product.
Exactly. We're 100% neutral, transparent, and we actually have dashboards where you can go in and see all of the data that we're using to, you know, either target your audiences or actually the places that we're measuring for you.
Yeah. So let's also talk about, like, what is the outcome or the use cases of that data? So you're building this very reliable data set. When we talk about location data, there are often a lot of different ways it's used. I mean, it can be used in ad targeting within a campaign that is looking for location targeting. It can be used as a corollary to that as attribution to see, you know, what ads had what result in the offline world. It can be in a more broad sense about marketing insights and kind of making product decisions based on what you've seen your, you know, kind of customers do, not your customers, but your clients' customers. So you know, what is the outcome of that data, and how do you work with your customers, brands, agencies, or even on the publisher side? So I guess there's two questions there. Who are you working with, and how are you serving them in terms of that data being put in action?
Yeah. So first of all, on the sort of the marketer side of the business and our customers that use this data, we work across the board with most of the major marketers. You know, we work with all of the 50 like top national advertisers and a lot of the top national, you know, global advertisers. I'd say that's one of the nice things about Factual. Our data set is completely global. So you can work with one, you know, neutral location data provider for big, you know, global companies. They can use our data to run the same campaigns, measure the same campaigns that they're doing in the United States across the globe. So that's amazing. And, you know, all of our data, like you just mentioned, is distributed across the entire ad tech ecosystem and all of the major platforms where, you know, I've been building this business for 5 years at Factual and listening very closely to our customer base, them telling us where they want our data embedded and where they want to buy it. So that's all the major, you know, places where you can buy media. We just discussed a lot of those, like Google and the Trade Desk, all of the major DSPs, all of the major DMPs. So you can take a look at and understand our audiences and mix that with your customer data and understand, you know, more about who your customers are and the places that they go in the real world. And I would say that also, you know, connected television and out of home are also two important emerging channels for us. Our goal is to have all of our products, and I think you should just come and work for Factual because you did a nice job of introing them.
Yeah, right.
In those platforms. So, and here at Factual, and give open and transparent access to our data in our own sort of UIs and dashboards for customers if they want to access it, but also have it right available there for them to use in all of those platforms and channels we just discussed. So that is, you know, upfront insights. So before I even, you know, run a campaign and use Factual's data for measurement or for creating highly customized audiences, I want to understand more about who my consumers are based off of how they move through the real world. Mm-hmm. You know, it might be that you know something about your customers, but who are they when they're not shopping in your stores or when they're not interacting with the brand or on your website? So we have created an insights UI where our clients can go in and learn anything they want to know about the consumers visiting their stores or their competitive stores, or maybe just the general broad category, right? Who are people that eat a lot at vegan restaurants? What else do they do? I can make some guesses, but, you know, are big box shoppers, where else do they spend their time, you know, and how does that look regionally? So there's tons of sort of like viewpoints and slicing and dicing you can do of looking at who your consumers are based off of how they move through the world through our insights platform. Then you use those insights to create highly, highly customized audiences and, you know, inform and guide your audience strategy. And you can use all of Factual's data to do that and create highly customized audiences in a matter of minutes. And push out and deploy to any of your buying platforms that you would want to. So, you know, I want to target, you know, we'll go down the vegetarian route. People that we know are frequently, you know, eating at vegetarian restaurants, go to yoga at least twice a month, and shop at Whole Foods, right? You create that audience in a matter of minutes and you push it out to the Trade Desk or wherever you would like to target it. Again, in a very neutral way, not attached to any media. You can use that data of how those people are moving through the real world and attach it and buy it in any buying platform to any media that you want. And then, you know, like we talked about before, the one of the more exciting ways that you can use our data today is then to actually measure the effectiveness of your media, not just any audiences that you're buying with Factual, but your entire media spend across all your line items on any platform across the ecosystem. And I think that is just you know, an emerging space, really exciting, and we're excited about not just measuring digital media. Everything we do is translated cross screen, so you can understand, you know, the effectiveness of a billboard. Are people seeing, you know, who are the people that are seeing your ads, or did you serve someone a television ad, and then did they go to the store?
Yeah, that's great. And I think it's a great differentiation you made about audience targeting and audience profiling. And for the sake of our, you know, audience and defining things for those unfamiliar, most people think about location targeting and advertising as what we know of as geofencing or serving an ad based on where someone's standing. But audience targeting, conversely, is based on location behavior. And I think that there's a lot of advantages there, as you just talked about, in reaching someone wherever they are. It's more based on who they are, but importantly, it's informed by their kind of foot traffic patterns in the past. And I think that that's an interesting kind of way that you guys have differentiated yourself, you know, among other, you know, kind of tactics for targeting and location intelligence. So that leads into the next question before we go to our next break, which is that Factual recently launched the Measurement Intelligence platform or product, which does a lot of the things we've been talking about. It highlights visitation insights and other things. And you've probably already described it well at a high level in what Factual is doing. But is there anything about that product and that announcement that kind of brings new things to fold?
Yeah, you know, we've talked a lot about it, but I think the exciting thing about measurement intelligence is cutting through. You know, there's a lot of data in the space right now. Advertisers are marred with data choices, and they have access to like reams and reams of data, but they don't know exactly what to do with it. Right? What does it mean? I'm using all this data on my campaigns, but it's difficult to sort of organize it and make sense of the ROI. And what I love about our measurement intelligence platform is that it puts all the metrics around how your campaign is performing right in, you know, in a very simple way, right at the fingertips of advertisers. You can see a lot of those results in real time as they're coming in. So you can do mid-flight optimization and you can increase the ROI of your campaigns and make smarter media choices. It's deterministic, like we talked about. So we're not modeling, we're not doing panels, we're not making guesses about who's visiting your store. This is deterministic. And it's got massive scale. It runs across over 300 million devices globally. And, you know, what might be in this sort of like media transformation that we're seeing right now around brands, you know, asking more questions about their media choices and their data choices, bringing more control of that in-house, being more hands-on about it. You know, what might be one of the, I think, most important sort of qualities of what we're doing with measurement intelligence, and it's really like a cornerstone of what Factual is, which is 100% transparent, 100% neutral and transparent, right? You can understand all of the data that you're using. You can see it in our dashboards. Measurement intelligence will allow us to also launch measurement platforms where you can see all of these results and all of the data that we're using to garner those results for you in a very transparent way.
Yeah, that's great. So we're going to pause now for commercial break. When we come back, more from Ocean.
So we're back with our sponsor, Perch Interactive, and CEO Trevor Sumner makes a strong ROI case given performance metrics and case studies that Perch continues to validate. And that includes up to 144% sales lift depending on the product category. And the bottom line is that it's really all about strategic points of influence on consumers during that shopping journey and rethinking retail itself as media.
Aveeno skincare spokesperson, it's Jennifer Aniston. And the reality is they spend millions and millions of dollars to promote that on, you know, TV and social media, on Facebook, et cetera. But there are 10 times as many people in front of your product in store than on your Facebook page last 30 days. And so you spend tens of millions of dollars on Jennifer Aniston. And the point that your customers are about to purchase in a crowded area, ready to go, Jennifer Aniston's not there. And if you look at, I think about it as, you know, touching a product as a product click in store. If you look at the cost per click of delivering that media in store, it's actually comparable and often cheaper than trying to deliver it to your Facebook page.
So for more on Perch Interactive, visit www.perchinteractive.com. So now back to our episode.
Hi everyone, it's Mike Boland, lead analyst at Street Fight. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. This is actually just part one. We had a robust discussion with Ocean Fine, so decided to break it into two full episodes. So stay tuned for part two, when we will go deeper with Ocean on the evolution of location intelligence and brand advertising. So this has been Heard on the Street. I'm Mike Boland. Thanks for listening.